shooting salvage the old Sky Park area. And we're doing remediation. So, you know, because an issue came up, they said, oh, whoever wants to buy it might not buy it now because they are saying it's toxic. So we're going to do a study of the thing. I don't know how much you have to do, how many layers you have to do. Mm-hmm. So then they threw in Pacific Station too, which I thought was interesting because that wasn't what we had talked about, I don't think.
No.
Is that the Metro Transit Center?
Yeah, Pacific Station is that project down on, you know, next to on Pacific Avenue between Front and Pacific.
I'm looking for it again, and the one that involves the homeless garden project. 11, you got 11, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Oh, is that the one we're talking about? Oh,
that's also Pogan.
Oh, that's also all of them.
Shooting.
Yeah, so I guess we're going after a grant money to cover those costs.
It is the motion authorizing the city manager to apply for accepting contract services from the Department of Toxic Substance Control and execute any documents, agreements, amendments, or other such administrative actions necessary for application, acceptance, and implementation of a grant funded study. Yep. So just a grant, trying to apply for grant money to clean up toxic.
And that may be very normal.
I think it is rather normal, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd like a general question about liability claims against the city. How much has it cost them in liabilities this year? Anybody got a ballpark figure?
Do you have a number associated with it?
That's number 13.
Someone told me that the toxic waste claim at the homeless garden project area is being used to get rid of the homeless garden project.
No. I wouldn't say that. I would say that there is an old skeet shooting range up there with potential toxic stuff from the clay pigeons that they shot up there. And it's very true that that used to be really toxic because it was in the 50s when everything was toxic. So, and especially if you're going to grow food there.
Like I said, someone told me.
Right.
So I was just curious.
It happens. I mean, that's how things happen. People say a lot of stuff that isn't true, unfortunately. Okay, so good question. Anything else before we jump into items 26, 34, 35, and the evening session 1? What I was talking about previously, though, was it's interesting that this popped up on the not consent agenda, which is a...
I just want to turn off the air conditioning. It's killing me.
Just a comment. The League of California Cities, I just saw it come up there. They're choosing a representative for this city. That person should be one.
Where are you seeing this?
The League of California... That's I don't remember which agenda item it is, but it's on there. The League of California Cities.
Oh, I see.
What number is it?
Yeah.
Nicholas?
I don't know because I just saw it float through there. It's after 11. Somewhere after 11.
It's Martine is going to the League of California Cities.
Oh, you see, that's useful.
She's a voting member for us.
It's 8.
That's not good because the League should be the instrument that we use to get the state to provide for our needs in a systematic manner. We've got to have agreement between cities on homeless and other matters of that crisis type.
So unfortunately, cities are very split, and the League of Cities makes their decisions, I have no idea, I guess maybe through these voting members, but they are invested in the private prison industry, so CalPERS is invested in the private prison industry right now, and there is the issue of homelessness. And when I was at the League of Cities orientation earlier this year in January, I believe, I made a public statement about the need to divest from the private prison industry, and I was met with not only applause from the people in the crowd, but also a lot of city council officials from other cities coming up to me to say, hey, let's talk. So I have a bundle of elected officials from other cities that want to work on joint projects like that together. I just haven't had a chance to go past sending emails saying, hey, great to meet you, let's stay in communication. So if you have ideas or suggestions on ways to engage cities in other conversations or to call a meeting of these conscious representatives together, then I'm happy to talk about that. Okay, great. So, do you know about just these, Chris, the items that I was talking about that were supposed to be on the consent agenda? I thought 32 and 33, which I'm going to have us talk about as well. Items 32, which is 392, and then...
Well, I would say it is, as the previous council used to have a Robert Norris rule, I think they had a Drew Glover rule, I think they developed in here. anything that comes up, it's
Yeah, I mean, when I spoke to the mayor, she said it was going to go on the consent agenda, but then there was a pushback from the police department and the Cabrillo Board of Trustees, so it ended up on the normal agenda. We'll talk about that when we get there, but in the, in the order of operations... and people that ask. We already talked about 11. So, Robert?
Is that enough? We talked about 11 enough?
Yeah, do you need any more information on 11 with the toxic stuff necklace, or are you good?
No, I'm good.
Okay, thanks, great. Dude. Robert?
I'm just wondering why the city agencies, city council membership and city groups and agencies, item 4 has been moved to the beginning of the agenda. And the reason that worries me, maybe you talked about this already.
We did not. Worries me too.
Yeah, well, then you probably know what I'm talking about, which is usually if you want to get something on the next agenda and you want to force it, you need to raise it at the prior agenda. How are you going to know what to do if this comes at the beginning of the agenda rather than at the end? Because you won't have the benefit of having looking at the whole agenda. People understand what I'm talking about? The city council makes a vote, can make a vote based on a council member's proposal that something be on the agenda regardless of what the mayor wants to do. If they do it on the previous agenda, they get a 4-4 votes or a majority. But if this comes at the beginning of an agenda...
In a consent agenda.
In a consent agenda, it means that there really isn't an opportunity, A, to vote on it individually unless you take it off the agenda, but also B, it means you don't have the benefit of what's happened during the council meeting to then make a decision as to, oh, I guess we should put this, require that this certain item be put on the agenda for the next time and not simply trust that Martine and, you know.
Because it's not for, you're not discussing it at this agenda, or at this meeting, it's for the next meeting.
It is for the next meeting, but you have to know before the whole meeting.
Does it take away the opportunity to vote on agendizing something for the next meeting?
It does. And so just because it was requested a little earlier, just the general breakdown of how to get something on the agenda. So if a city council member wants to get something on the agenda, they have to create an agenda report and then submit that agenda report the Thursday following a council meeting. So, for example, if we wanted to have things on this agenda, we needed to submit it on the Thursday after the 11th, which was the 13th. I'm going to visualize it for you because it's easier to see on the
camera. And that's no guarantee it'll go on.
So, the issue with that and that structure is that even if we have 3 council members that submit the item and it's co-signed by everyone, the ultimate decision to put it on the agenda or not rests in the hands of the mayor. And so that's where this conflict when I first got on the council came from, was because I had received information about a timeline on when to submit materials. I had checked with staff multiple times leading up to that, letting them know what I was doing and everything. And then I went to submit the materials only to have them then say, you missed the deadline. And I, if we are in June, the 25th is the next meeting. That means the last meeting, since the city council meetings are the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, it was the 11th and the 25th of this month are going to be city council meetings. If we wanted something on the 25th, we had to turn it in on Thursday the 13th before it could get onto the 25th, on the 25th agenda.
That's crazy.
Right. That is crazy. That should be 10 days. You need 10 days at least to get...
So their logic beyond that is because they want to give it to the staff so they can run through it and find any problems the staff has with it, and then the mayor has a meeting sometime the following week, so sometime this week, to schedule and craft the agenda in her agenda review with the city manager. The issue there is that the only people in the room usually are the mayor, the vice mayor, and the city manager.
So this is
I have a question. Is there any way that you could propose to... like, and see if everyone wants to vote on it, a solution to this? Like, if it's an emergency, then it can be agendized faster.
This is a direct result of the mayor being having an end around on her last meeting. Drew and I tried to do this a few times. We got shot. We were successful once or twice and got shot down a couple times. What happened was Justin wanted to go forward with this rent issue to get the data. So it ended up being a 4-3 vote. The other three said they wanted this too, but they just didn't like this, the agenda being used like this. So the mayor is affronted by this. You know, she's insulted.
Oh,
so that's why I'm surmising that either this guy over here, the city manager, threw that wall, or the mayor, which I don't think she probably did, crafted this thing where, oh, okay, let's try this. Because maybe that we'll fool them on this one, and they won't have a chance to do this. So my solution would be to pull this one and put it at the end of the thing. I don't know if we have 4 votes for that, but to put it back at the regular place, because this is BS.
And if nothing else, pull it and then have a conversation around it. And Robert didn't announce it when he came in, but he is recording this conversation, yes, so everyone knows.
I thought it was obvious when I put it on the table.
Not everyone's talking about
it. I didn't know that. I probably wouldn't have spoken like that.
Well, now you're on tape.
Even though we seem to be a minority at times, because only two or three votes go the right way, I think it's a mistake to be trying to cooperate too much with this city management, these city departments, the staff. They have overmuch power.
So as much as I like to agree with you, Nicholas, in trying to circumvent that power system, I am now a bully and a sexist. So
No, it's not for you to do this. It's for the civic organizations in the city to wake up as to how the power is being abused.
Right. I mean, that's absolutely. So just to put it in perspective, and then we'll come Serge and then Alicia is and Robert, is that one thing that's been proposed is to have a rotating third council member in the room during agenda reviews to make sure that it gets put on where it gets put on. And the main issue, and I'll get back to what I was saying before about in February that caused this whole problem, was we had 3 council members that had signed on to the agenda reports, and we had another council member advocating in to put it on the agenda, even though we hadn't spoken with him about it, but he was trying to get it on the agenda, and she still didn't put it on the agenda. And so that was a majority of council members that wanted to talk about something, and she still forced it off. And then when I did what I did on February 12th and forced it to be an issue, that's the only reason why we're talking about transitional encampments on anything close to August, and it's the only reason we're getting the ordinance information is because I did that. But their response is then to assassinate my character and then go this other route. Anyway, that was the crash course on how agendas are created. We have Serge, Alicia, Robert, and then we'll move on.
One, respectfully, if it's going to change the conversation at all, can we not do a recording thing? Because I would really appreciate, like, true open dialogue.
I'd be like free speech. Yeah,
like, because there's so much about this whole system that I don't understand. And it's off the cuff. If you're okay with it, it's up to you.
It helps people speak.
Well, my problem is that this is for the broader, this is a publicly announced meeting. It's not Brown Act, of course, but it's publicly announced. And I do segments of it. In fact, I was thinking of doing a lot of it because this is, I think, educational to the community. I think Drew doesn't have time often, and Chris is hard to reach to do a lot of interviews on this subject. And this is really what the public gets aside from what comes out of the...
Right, and as a public meeting in general, I mean, I don't plan on insulting or slandering people in general, so I'm going to be as candid as I would if the tape wasn't rolling. So it's all about respect and justice.
Only question was, like, solutions.
Right, but I appreciate your concern about
that. I'm not trying to disrespect you, sir.
I didn't take it personally.
Okay.
It was just... And then, I really would love to hear, like, other thoughts that go through someone's head, and I also have to tone my stuff down a little bit when I'm being recorded, which I get, but for this...
How about we'll do this as a test run, and then we'll see how everyone feels after this, and after that we'll go from there, but I do want to exhibit as much transparency with the public, especially in policy stuff as possible.
I tend to insist on it myself as much as I can. I've been arrested in this very room, sitting on this chair for that recorder. So
there we go. All right,
and it's nothing personal. I think you've been pretty respectful to me and my feelings and stuff.
Number 2.
Second was Rafa asked that he'd have to leave by 6:15. Can we the numbers of the things depending? Have a little conversation of maybe skipping back and forth a little so that we can cover the.
I'm okay with that. If everyone's okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Alicia Robert.
Solutions to the agenda issue. You know, the problem with the monopolization of the agenda.
Right. That's been an ongoing thing, and it's great that y'all are now aware of it, because I'm sure Chris will love adding your voices to the chorus of people that want to see that change. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi.
Robert.
One thing you're definitely allowed to do that you guys talked about of where the consent for, like, that you were talking about that was in the beginning, you can call something again to a question. Like, you can revoke one person. Says that
right, or we could pull it out.
Like, vote it at the end of the meeting.
Or like Chris was saying, as we pull it out, we can talk about it, and then we can make a motion to put it at the end of the afternoon meeting and not have the consent agenda anymore. So we can do that all in real time at the meeting. Robert Satya.
Well, two things. First, I disagree with Nick. I think that it's important that you, as much as possible, ignore these claims, that these bogus claims that Watkins is making. You're going to get that kind of crap regardlessly. Mm-hmm. And you know, okay, they've got a commission investigating you. Big bull.
We're finally finished.
What?
We're finally finished the investigation.
And so did they find you guilty or not guilty?
We haven't found out. We're supposed to find out this week, but they haven't.
I just sent the city attorney a report saying what's up. I mean, the meeting tomorrow is not going to be as interesting or significant if we don't have a report out about
right.
it.
Right, that'd be great if we could have it by tomorrow's meeting so I could read it.
And I know we've been asking you about it and you had my campaign. That's sort of thing. Secondly, I would encourage you to put on to make a motion on Tuesday first of all, on this agenda for next agenda, that there be a specifically you will be turning in the staff reports, but you want to see it on the agenda. That there is you ready, Chris? There's a change in policy that will be in essence of that. For example, and I got to ask you about this, Chris. In your understanding, when you were doing this 20 years ago, was there a 2 week delay or 2 week advance on these agendas? So you had to put your stuff in the Thursday before the Wednesday before the meeting or not? I don't recall that at all.
Answer that.
Yeah.
We had a much more reliable four votes at that time, and we're much smarter now about how this whole agenda thing works, I think. Like, we didn't know. It took me 2 years to figure out how an agenda. This guy figured it out in the first 3 months or something. So, yes, it was like that, but I think that the council was not as clued in, and we're more of a majority, you know,
so you actually have, this is a traditional method, because I have not seen it written down anywhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a traditional. They've been doing it for a while.
Just in the interest of time, we can have this conversation after Rafa leaves. Satya, really quick, and then we're going to jump into the items that Rafa was.
Okay, I would ask you, would you be willing to put on the agenda this item for the next meeting, which is agenda reform creation? I would say anything that three staff members put forward, one should not have to be the Thursday before it, because it doesn't require staff time. It's three staff. If you're presenting staff reports. The staff doesn't have to do anything. So I would say you that could be put on any time up to a week before the council meeting. And then that should be a mandate, that it should be an issue that the mayor has to give high priority to three council members' items, because it doesn't happen that frequently.
Right, and if you wouldn't mind writing up some of those talking points, then I'd be happy to review them and deliver them with my own, I think the term is je ne sais quoi.
Point of information, I just got an email from the city clerk about our calendarization. It's not technically on the consent agenda, it is right before the consent agenda, she says, which is kind of interesting to me too. But.
Either way, we'll move it to the end of the meeting. Okay, great. So, Rafa's specific questions. It was for the tenant and data landlord collection and then the catch. So we'll do item 35 first. I'm sure that's what the majority of people would hear about. Item 35 and item number one in the evening session. So recommendations. I've been getting a lot of emails. I haven't read the staff pushback, but based off of some of the discourse I've seen online, there's a lot of staff pushback on this. So,
mm-hmm.
Rafa, it was your topic, so...
So I read through the agenda report, and, you know, while I think having information, especially broad statistical information, is really helpful, I would be worried that, like, the some of the methods and some of the specific data points that this report is talking about collecting, like, copies of leases and very, you know, granular specific information might be troubling to a lot of people who would otherwise participate in collect in that information gathering process.
Like what?
So, and I think it could have a chilling effect on potentially getting accurate information specifically around like how many people live in illegal housing units. And
you could Google who lives.
Here, wait, everybody, wait. Hey. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
I was questioning basically. I think it's really important to understand what the legal requirements and obligations of this, like whether or not the city has a legal authority to collect this information without having a specific program that it's collecting it for, and to be really cognizant of like how this information is collected and whether or not it's going to be accurate. Like I would request like some sort of like annual census or something, not necessarily like a specific registry of like all of the housing units or whatever. Like it seems like it's sort of ill-defined right now anyway, but my two cents was just concerned that potentially some of the ways that this has been talked about could lead the numbers to be underrepresented, or especially when it comes to illegal units.
Thank you. Cynthia, and then Alicia, you have something to say?
Why don't you go ahead?
A response to Rafa?
Well, just that who lives where is not necessarily protected information. You can Google that. You can find that just based on people collecting mail. It'll show up as on sites as to who lives at this address. And like you'll sometimes see, especially in rental properties, lists of like 30 and 40 people that have lived in that address prior. Mm-hmm. So that's not necessarily protected. But I think it's a good idea to collect some of that information as to your method of how. I guess that's, you know, that is a good point.
So the City of Berkeley Rent Control Program and other ones collect this information. And the City of Berkeley in specific, because I spoke to several rent boards, they allow people to send in a cell phone photo of the required document. So that's free to the landlord, free delivery. It does require staff. I think the City of Santa Cruz, of course, should have a tenant services department that is dedicated to, you know, the 60% of the city that are renters, and some of the services that would bring in the city money, like, for example, the business licenses that aren't being paid for by the landlords. But so reporting the information is so important, because there's no other place to get this information about how many people got a notice to vacate. The only place and that's totally legal for them to require that, because it's already required in several areas. Whether you don't have to have rent control. So all they have to do is, okay, yeah, I just gave them a notice to vacate. Now I'm gonna send a text a photo to the city.
So in Santa Cruz right now, we don't have any sort of rent control program.
You don't have to.
Right, so, but essentially it's saying like, any renter's situation would be sort of like having like a business license or like some sort of like oversight from the city, where the city is keeping track of where everyone is, when everyone is, who those people are, what their lease
looks
like. You
can take their names off if you want.
What's that?
We can blank out their names
right,
if you want. That's not the issue.
But if they're collecting that information, it could potentially be public records. And if they're collecting that information about
why don't we talk to the city of Berkeley that's already been doing this for years find out how they do this.
I love the dialogue, but I would love it if we could just be respectful. That's exactly what I was going to say, is if we could just wait for the person to finish speaking before we jump in. This goes both ways for everybody.
Before she finishes, what data are we talking about?
I know, but just a second. I was noticing it was... the body language was changing, where people were leaning forward, the tones were changing, especially coming from your end. So I want to make sure that we can keep this respectful, responsible, and open, so we can all share ideas and let each other finish and express ourselves.
Okay.
Rafa, were you done before she jumped in?
Not quite. So I agree that the information to collect is really valuable.
What data are you talking about?
That's another question. There isn't necessarily a clear consensus about what all information...
What data are you concerned about?
Essentially, potentially information about a copy of someone's lease, information about the names of renters, the names of landlords, the number of units or the number of rooms in a house or something that are being rented out.
You're worried about privacy.
Privacy, and I'm also worried about just the potential for that information to end up being used retroactively as sort of like a method to shut down an illegal housing situation or something. If people are complying, or if people are not willing to share that information because they're worried about potentially having their illegal unit shut down if they were sharing that information.
Great, thank you for that. Cynthia, you can finish now on your response, and then...
Oh yeah, I think that, you know, there can be protected information. Right now the police department has been delivering some records, so everything is in public record. It doesn't have to be. So you can look into that, but since other cities are doing it, I don't think there's any illegal privacy issues. So I say these things have already been brought up and addressed.
And I don't know if the city council can vote to make it confidential information that only we and our staff have access to, but then the question is if the community is going to want that information to be able to analyze and justify future housing advocacy, there's that kind of stuff.
No, you don't, because it's not about the people, it's about the situation. You could, like I'm saying, like I already said, you can blank out the names.
Okay.
You know, it's not about you're not collecting data on specific landlords for this program. This program is to collect data specifically about people who have to move because they can't afford their rent or are evicted with a notice to vacate, which doesn't go through the courts, so there's no other way to track that except for getting notices from landlords. And that's the main way people are evicted, is through a notice to vacate. So that is a problem with any place that doesn't have this kind of law, is you don't really know how many evictions there are. And there have been several studies done through the courts, but none of them have been, and there's one, you know, one that had more results that was done by Tenants Together, even more results than the Harvard study, because they're in California. But you can get more, so privacy issues can be addressed.
Good to know. Yeah. If you want to give me the specifics on that, and somewhere where I don't, because I don't have it written down right now, but if you have specific rebuttals as to how the item, send it to me, and then I will work on adding, just like with Robert's, if I feel it's appropriate, I'll include it in my statements. Robert, just to answer your question, this is the motion from the end of the last city council meeting up here, and that was to bring back recommendations on the 25th to pursue an online rental lease, rental increase, notice to quit, and eviction submission and tracking program for the purposes of gathering fine-skilled data on the frequency and magnitude of the rental increases, notices to quit, and evictions in the city.
Right, it's rental, not about the individuals.
What, rental increase, notices to quit, and what else are we talking about?
Evictions.
It's a notice to quit.
I mean, I've seen the heading. I just don't know what specific information.
A notice to quit is an eviction. That's the kind of eviction we're talking about.
Okay.
The other stuff's available to the court.
This is
slightly different, but a little bit similar. Another reason that people become homeless is because their landlords have health and safety conditions in the units, and if they complain, they will get kicked out. So I know that the city of Tracy was proposing an ordinance that if a landlord owns three or more rental properties, they go through a regular code enforcement inspection process, and that they won't be able to retaliate. So this way, the tenants are living in units that are healthy for them, and there's no repercussions because it's a regular visit. They don't have to complain and risk getting kicked out. It's just a regular thing for landlords that own multiple units to be inspected. Is that something that can be done here?
I would imagine so. Is there someone else? Come on in.
Because I think that would be beneficial. We have a problem with that. I myself had a problem with that.
Okay. Direct response?
Yes.
Okay, really quick, and then Serge.
I brought you information from the city of Minneapolis, which has such a program. They have a rental licensing program, like Santa Cruz says, a part of their business program, but it's not enforced here. And there's a tiered rental license. Like if you've had your property had problems in the past, you have to pay more for your license. Mm-hmm. And this is now, they're starting to do it in Baltimore and other cities, perhaps Tracy. And Minneapolis was the first one that kind of did that. Here's an article about how the landlords fought back.
I think it's important.
And I have the information about the program from the city's website.
So if you can maybe look that over and consider agendizing something to propose a similar ordinance in Santa Cruz.
That is totally potential, but not at this meeting, probably.
This
is all pipeline stuff, but the data thing is...
Right. Serge, and then Robert.
In response to what Rafa said, deciding whether you're looking to have punishment for people doing certain things, or whether that's not the intent, whether there could be some immunity kind of language in there for the... what you're not trying to get anyway, but might be scaring a whole crowd of people. Whether that's for the renters or for the rentees, and whether that's, well, if you have something that's not up to code, like the county has a thing, well, they'll help you get up to code, and the housing authority will help you get up to code, because that would get more available units or some language like that.
Okay.
You can do a PowerPoint if you want.
Robert.
This question is for Cynthia. Have you read the agenda report on this? Okay, you might want to read it. I'm curious, once you do read it, whether you think there's something missing from this in terms of what's being asked. That's number one. And then number two, it's elaborate and very detailed, and it's like they're throwing everything at you. Mm-hmm. And I'm suspicious this is an attempt to do what they tried to do last time, which is delay the whole issue for 3 months to study it further. And I would suggest you prepare a simplifying motion to clarify simply that this be cut down to a couple of very basic and key issues, and then be acted on immediately at the next meeting. That would be my suggestion.
Okay, yeah, so cut it down.
If you're addressing me, I would just say I could do a PowerPoint that does that kind of thing. I'll email it to you, see if it's helpful.
Great, that'd be wonderful, and then if it's worth it, then I'll ask for some time for you to give a little presentation.
Yeah, or you can give it.
Nicholas?
I think
come on in. Come on in. We got a couple chairs over here.
I think the essential.
Okay.
We have that effect on people sometimes. Hi, welcome.
Hi, sorry to be late.
That's okay.
Do you want people to use this person? Should I pass it to Cynthia?
She wants to look at it, sure.
We're going to pass around a flyer invite too for an event that's coming up.
Okay, we're going to focus on this, so thanks for coming in, everyone, but we're going to stay focused.
And a warning that there is a...
This is being recorded.
Yeah, conversation being recorded.
No so fucking insanity, please.
Keith, that's a whole report.
That goes together. Okay, So, we're going to jump back into it again.
Cynthia, don't take it. It's part of his agenda binder. I'm just passing it to you.
So you can read it while we're talking. So all really great suggestions. So issues with data points. And I assume that you spoke to people that are either homeowners or landlords or something that have expressed the concern about the data collection point. The stuff that was posed in the city council agenda report as far as questions: what is the goal of the data collection? How will the data be used? By whom and how frequently? What information is most important to collect? Would the collected data be subject to review and approval by the city? Would non-compliance be addressed, if so, as a civil matter or by the city? Then the opportunity cost: creation of new rental data monitoring program for one-time data survey will not only carry a fiscal cost, but an opportunity cost. So these are all the issues that they have. So there's the question as far as what the data is for. The need for accurate and reliable data about rental housing has been made clear through the recent campaign for and against Measure M. Okay, so that's good. But there's an opportunity cost. So they're talking about fiscal impact, implementation and timing, so how they're going to do that, and the factors that could get in the way. And the IT development, the amount of city involvement, legal challenges, and what that would produce. So they're coming back with all these issues. Reggie Meisler or something sent an email, I think, to us, or something about the meeting with all the stuff. And he went point by point and said, please approve this. I'm going to see if I can find it really quick. But in the interest of time, Rob, since you have to go in 10 minutes, we can come back to this if anyone wants to talk more about the housing program. The other one that was requested to speak about early on is the evening meeting on the CATCH, Homeless Community Advisory Committee. So I have been in communication recently with a group called Wise Democracy. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about them?
Yes.
And so I was, after talking about it with one of the guys that's coordinating it, it made me think, is that a better way to go than spending $30,000 on the CATCH and instead spend maybe $5,000 on a wisdom council model? And so for those of you that don't know, wisdom councils are, you know what, Civic Council Bolingbrog, images, no videos. Let's see if I can pull this up really quick. Yeah, this. So this is what I'm talking about. Just so you know.
Chris, can I see that agenda item? Staff report.
For what number is it again?
It's the one on the evening.
It's the
So they randomly select people from around the area of registered voters. So they're randomly selected people, and then they're brought together with a facilitator.
Thank you.
And then they come up with proposals. And then that goes to the deciding body. So 300,000 people, 23 randomly selected people. 1.5 days with a facilitator that's trained on leading the conversation, coming up with
creative solutions.
It's the group called Wise Democracy. They're locally doing some stuff. It's a group that started.
Do you like their work?
Yeah, I know about it too. It's wonderful. I talked to Karina about it.
Because it's less politicized, it's less divisive with people, because it's just random people. And they open up the workshop with maybe an hour and a half of people leading them through the issue and describing what's going on and providing them with data, and then they're left for a day and a half to come up with their own decisions.
I'm against any group that doesn't have any homeless people in it deciding decisions for homeless people.
Most of them aren't registered voters.
I'd be okay if that random selection turned up at least 3 or 4 homeless people, but other than that, no go.
My concern would also just be that this is such a complex issue that I feel like it takes a lot of understanding and a lot of it's a big responsibility to do this kind of thing. And
so I wanted to put it in perspective. Y'all are talking like this is going to be the end-all, be-all decision. This is a facilitation option to come up with 5 suggestions from a randomly selected group of people so that they can come back and give us their opinions, and then we can decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to follow these suggestions? Do we need to open up another thing? But the difference is, instead of the catch taking 3 to 9 months of time of having people having conversations and costing the city $30,000, this can be done in maybe a total of 2 months, because it's a month of outreach, and then the actual date of whenever it fits into that following month, and then it comes back to the council for us to decide. So I wanted to pitch the idea out there. I'm totally down to hear all of the concerns, reasons why you hate it, and all that other kind of stuff, but now you know that it is an alternate model from the catch that is proven in other areas with incredibly complex problems like refugees and other kinds of stuff, and has proven to come up with rather creative and solution-oriented decisions. So, show of hands, who wants to talk? Great, we'll do Nicholas, Satya, Serge, Robert, Alicia.
You know, the country of Austria has the advantage of being extremely homogeneous. Okay, it isn't a multi-ethnic, it wasn't until recently, and a very highly educated country. So you can do that sort of thing there. But we could do a hybrid thing. Mm-hmm. I like the idea, basically. But I would have the random citizens negotiate with the interest group, like Alicia said. You don't want to be doing this in the absence of the group that needs the support and help. So if you combine those two, you've got something nice.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good idea. I was just wondering, Drew, if you could have Karina come, or somebody from the Wisdom Council come and present on it. You know, someone who's done this before who could come and present on it to help everyone understand more what it is. And maybe she could offer some suggestions about how to select the group. Because right now they're setting up another Wisdom Council. Randomly, actually, they're advertising on Craigslist for people. I'm one of the people who applied. And they have a whole way of looking through who applies to make sure it is a random sampling, and it includes age groups and, you know,
house status, and
what, all kinds of things. Yeah, all kinds of things. So to make sure it is diverse and because it's hard to explain exactly what it is. I mean, I've been following it too. I'm reading Jim Ruff's book about the whole process that he's doing, and I mean, I'm taken with it. I think it's an amazing process. So far different from what we do now. It's more about choices and hearing everyone. So
before we dive into the rest of the stack with feedback about the program, did you have anything in particular you wanted to say about the catch, because you're going to leave and then we're going to talk about where you're going?
Actually, I think Serge could speak to one of my concerns with it, which basically was the scope of the work.
Yeah. Scope of the work?
I gave 4 suggestions before I emailed you guys a while ago about the thing. Right now, it's the short way that I describe the thing is get a bunch of experts together, don't give them much time to talk, have a big community meeting so that they can listen to what the community says, and then write down the list of what the community said and give that to the city council. What's the point of having experts? So yours is a shorter way of getting community ideas, if that's all you're hoping for. But if you're actually hoping for something that have experts saying, you know, talking to a house, having homeless people say, hey, my need is to feel like I'm allowed to walk in a neighborhood, and the house person saying, I have a need that my kids are safe, and then people talking about how that does that work, and somebody who's from a program saying, well, I can have staff walk around the neighborhood, you know, 1 hour after we close or whatever like that. But having people come together to really design it and come up with something true available, well, then you need the different groups to be sitting there. But if you're only talking about having the haters have a pulpit,
Well, there you go. The catch is sort of set for that.
I mean, I think that, and that was somewhat of the understanding that I had about what the whole process was, to provide community input on the solutions of homelessness because they didn't like transitional encampments.
But the expert people should have some time to sit down together and start having some ideas, because it even says in there to correct some misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they should have some time to sit down and decide what their facts are, whether it's pit counts or whatever sort of things, so they become educational community interactions, not just everybody sort of mouthing off and getting themselves on the list.
And then other homeless advocate, Alicia.
I like what Nicholas said about having them meet with outside groups, like advocacy groups in the area, like no matter what. But also, I don't know if the list, because I know everybody already applied to be on the couch, and it was going to be kind of decided already. Is there a way to turn that list, because it was supposed to be compromised of people who were homeless, experiencing homelessness, youth homelessness, there were several categories, to actually turn that list into the Wisdom Group and just, like, a hybrid program, use that model, same group, no $30,000, instead of another whole random selection?
And my other question is, wasn't the catch supposed to be decided on by council vote? Mm-hmm. Why is there a finalist list?
That was my understanding as well, and that it would be publicly decided on by a vote.
By vote of the council, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I think that
and ultimately the Tuesday, mayor right? could.
I thought that was supposed to happen on Tuesday.
Could say yes or no if she had an absolute issue with that.
So who decided on the finalists?
Right. Okay. So I mixed up the stack so we could hear from Rafa and the concerns. So we have the scope of the work, the issues of whether or not it's just getting community input or about building something or creating something.
If we're looking for solutions, is the catch just about going to be recommending specific things, or is it just going to be essentially a fancy PR like spokespeople for who are just spouting the policies of the city and going and having community meetings or something, but not actually like utilizing that the quote unquote expertise to make recommendations.
Right. Robert and Keith.
It strikes me like something that happened 20 years ago that Keith, that Chris may be familiar with, which is the Homeless Issues Task Force, which was a way of diverting a lot of activist energy that were pressing the council to end the sleeping ban at that time into a task force that the council largely ignored. They sent all these activists off on a goose chase for a year, came out with a lot of good recommendations, and only one of them, which was a police officer who would patrol the homeless lack of services center. So the danger here is that this is more of the talk things to death approach. I think that's what it seems to be. But we should remember that there's a recess coming up, you know, for the next month. And so you have some time to prepare whatever you want to prepare in terms of a response to this. But I would say very important is what I think you were saying, Ralph, is that there be a focus on specific issues. That's the only way you can, if you talk about homelessness, they've been throwing lots of money at that one for years and ignoring all the basic problems that homeless people really have. It's all about funding social service providers or talking things to death or babbling about affordable housing. So you got time. Remember the lessons of the Homeless Issues Task Force, which you can learn. You can look at the report. They had great suggestions 20 years ago, and they're still relevant. I mean, Chris set up a bathroom task force that provided eventually no bathrooms. You know, they have 4 or 5 porta potties, all of which disappeared within 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. A few of them were burned down. The people would light the toilet paper dispensers on fire.
Oh, they're so much fun to see.
And the difference, though, in this one is that council members appoint, this is just point of information, council members appointed those members of that task force. This one, we don't have really much to do with it. And
I think that makes it worse, I would say.
No. But I could have sworn that when we made the motion that it was to make, and I'll go back and look at it, but and also wasn't it to make sure that there would be people experiencing homelessness on
the It's supposed to be inclusive and different aspects of homelessness.
And
homelessness,
a lot of these people are
mental
are the same kind of business as usual people. Brooke Newman is heavily entrenched in local politics. Don Lane has been on the issue of homelessness for decades. Like,
they're doing nothing to tell you.
It should be a majority of homeless people or people
experiencing
anything.
In a certain sense, I was going to that's on the stack. But, so, to answer your question, you both argued against Watkins being the only one that chose who would be on the, because that was part of the vote.
Right.
Watkins chooses who would be
is
on.
Is there any person on there whatsoever?
Wait a second.
And then the other point was that the purpose of this was to sideline the entire conversation so that it looked like something was happening, but wasn't, because it came out of the idea we're going to get rid of Ross, and so we're going to have this as the substitute. And that was the same thing that happened before with the 2017 study. So we could actually just take the 2017 paper or the 2000 document that Robert's talking about, and you would have all the same things because they're exactly the same. And so I don't know how, now that this is voted to be and that people have chosen it, whether there's anything really to do about it other than to point out that it's just a way of subterfuge to make sure that nothing ultimately happens to help people live on the street.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to find, do we remember?
I remember the conversation.
But do you remember the day, what meeting it was?
That would have been maybe the Depot Park meeting, or maybe,
I think so.
The meeting.
There was another problem.
So you were asking,
when 2019,
when Watkins said that she would be choosing, you're like, wait, that's not cool.
Right.
And then other city council people said, well, that's normally the way it's going. She's the one who nominates them. But then you guys all heard that you'd be able to vote on it to agree to all the people.
Right.
So then you sort of just dropped the fact that she was the nominee.
It was supposed to be they are able to nominate and she gets the final decision.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
Well, the thing with this now is that we can... the one thing that we can do is make suggested changes to the finalist lists. So these are the suggestions from the mayor, right? And so we're going to vote. The agenda item specifically says the motion or the recommendation is to adopt the catch nominations and work plan to include all pending homelessness related policy considerations. So we need to, if we are unhappy with the list of names associated on the list or the number of people in the group, then we need to come back with a separate list of people and stuff, so...
And the work plan can be modified, too.
And the work plan can be modified.
Because right now, it was only talking about transitional encampments in neighborhoods. You could add on sleeping and parking things, you could add on bathrooms and say, these three or four topics get answers to these things, rather than, really, it was transitional encampments in neighborhoods.
Can you send me those suggestions?
Do we have all the applications?
The applications are in
the agenda
report here.
Okay.
And I see you, Ellie, just a second.
Okay.
So we have Amy Mills, Chen, how many are there? Let's see.
A lot.
There's 212 pages of this, but
each one's like five or six.
Yeah, four pages for each one. So four divided by 212. How many were selected was a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Which page is that? Is that page 1.7?
I'll get mine printed out, dog. It's all up here.
So I,
Rafa, good to have you with us.
I don't, from just a general glance, I don't see any homeless people on that list. I see people who have direct connections with the Homeless Services Center. And people, for instance, like Raphael. And
Serge
I was about to say, I wanted to say when he was in the room, no offense to Raphael, but I kind of have an issue with people like Raphael in a room deciding what's going to happen to people like me without speaking to people like me. And I didn't apply because I didn't know that we'd be taken seriously anyway for that, but I know you guys get to verbally nominate. So if you want to add me,
you didn't apply
to there, but I didn't apply. But I do want to somehow make sure that whoever these people are, if it does end up being them, that they do consult.
How many homeless people did you have apply?
With our groups,
apply.
Do you know
who's? I'm homeless.
I don't know all of. I know one, Erica Aiken. I'm really close with a lady named Erica Aiken. I don't know her qualifications. I didn't see her application.
He asked but who you, applied. Who applied?
You can reopen.
Erica Aiken.
She
can
did.
Reopen.
Already.
Yes, I'm giving you a name if somebody
no.
I know applied.
Did she apply before?
I don't see on there.
And did she apply before?
Yes.
And you can reopen these things if you don't. This happened before. That's how Robert Singleton got on the Planning Commission. It was closed, and they reopened it because they wanted
you
to have
you don't
cherry
like the
pick
draw.
Him.
You didn't like the draw.
Because Candace
it.
Brown had already applied, and she was qualified, but they didn't like her because she was not as corrupt as they are. So they reopened it. So you could reopen it and say, we didn't do enough outreach to homeless folks to get enough. So, that's something you can do. I just want to say I do support the short, cheaper version because this has been going on for years, and there's already been a lot of discussion, and we need just to make some action decisions. So I like
thank
the
thanks for showing
wise
up.
Democracy.
See you later.
For that.
Thank you.
You know, maybe a different choosing way method than wise democracy like prefers, but I think we should push for that because I hate paying all these staff hours for nothing because that's what happened in the short-term vacation rental thing. I attended all those meetings for months and they came out with nothing.
So I think that one of the problems was that I know I would never have applied for that.
Why?
Because it was just, the whole thing is an essential scam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to me, I thought, what's going to happen to me? They're going to go, look, we came up with these great, beautiful decisions to do nothing, and Keith McHenry was there, and therefore he endorses this completely bullshit thing. So that's why nobody signed up for it, because no one wants to, we don't want to legitimize. Yeah, or like we don't,
right.
Like any.
Exactly.
So one of the problems of getting, I wasn't going to homeless people going, get on this thing, because then
they don't really listen.
Yeah, they would be there, they'd say some stuff, and then just like what Don Lane does with Smart Solutions, you'll have everybody come in, you'll all talk about, Smart Solutions things have been, is the same thing as this. But hours and hours and hours of it, you go there, you write your little thing down, and I must have done that 30 times, and then they go, look at all the cool homeless advocates and homeless people were there and filled out all these pieces of paper. So it means that Smart Solutions is a good thing.
And what was your name?
My name? Janai.
Janai?
Yes.
Nice to meet you. I'm Drew. I think you're one of the people I haven't met in the room, so it's wonderful to have you with us. And what are your thoughts on this?
Well, they definitely, I agree with Alicia, they absolutely have to have more people that are experiencing homelessness to have their input and explain what their real main hurdles are with getting services. And I've lived in Santa Cruz since I was 18 years old. I raised three kids here, and they're all in their 30-somethings. I've been homeless here 2 years now, and I'm not seeing anything but referral after referral. Nobody's doing anything. You can't get into the homeless shelter at all. I personally am so furious about it myself. I just got out of the hospital last year with double pneumonia. I spent 6 weeks, almost died. And all they offered me for temporary transitional housing while I was getting nursing care afterwards was a tent at the FEMA camp. And I have a vehicle. I'm like, I'd be better off in my car that almost killed me than at the FEMA camp being exposed to other things. There's just, and then I hear things about $90,000 a month for this FEMA camp, we call it, that by the way still has barbed wire around it.
Right.
Those tents are $39 a piece. I priced them myself. The porta potties, without city possible discount, are $500 for two of them for a month, dumped every week. What the plan is paid for, what I just don't understand
the cost
where
is,
this money is coming from. And you can go to Dream Inn for 3 or 4 weeks.
Right, the cost is coming from the paying for 24-hour supervision of multiple people inside.
How much does one security guard possibly cost?
Is it just one security guard that's there?
One security guard.
But what about the Salvation Army representatives that are there?
Those are volunteers, aren't they?
No,
they get salaries. No, the director there makes $30 per hour.
Yeah.
And just to chime in, the name is the one that I sent you a photograph of with the fan full of tickets that are from just 1 week. Santa Cruz Police Department Department is actively criminalizing the homeless right now, despite the law.
She got 12 tickets in 72 hours.
Now I'm up to 13 right now. Yeah, in 72 hours, there was 9 of her, almost 11 of them. I can't even keep track
anymore. Yeah, it was so outrageous, I photographed. It's I took her photo, but it's
outrageous.
I paid my fees and insurance, just bought the RV. And
so you're meeting with her.
They know me, you know, Sergeant Hobby. He knows me very well. I'm out to the Rangers in the air on a first-name basis. I've been in the same spot every night for 2 years. I've been sighted 3 times.
And you said you had to have surgery?
I had double pneumonia. It almost killed me. I ended up in intensive care. Mm-hmm. And for 3 weeks, I was hospitalized for 6 weeks. I had to have a PICC line for 3 months. And I was put in a nursing home. But because I was in the nursing home with a vehicle parked outside, they kicked me out of the nursing home and they had to put me in a motel to continue my treatment because I was homeless with a car. And they literally kicked me out of Hearts and Hands specifically because I had a vehicle. They kept all my medications and everything.
Wow.
It was insane. I couldn't believe it. I was like,
how many kids?
I have 3 kids I've raised here. One of them happens to be a registered nurse in Oregon. Another one.
But with you now?
My kids are in their 30s.
Do you want to be at Laurel Street? There's still space over there. And there's also the car camp
I have
at the churches.
I had at the time 2 services. I rescue animals and my male just died.
I'm sorry.
And the female's dog aggressive, so it's kind of a difficult issue.
It seems to me that this committee, we should actually have only homeless people on it, and then if you're not homeless, you do not qualify, or that you were homeless within the last month or something. You know, because people come in and out of
I had Section A when I got here.
So I think the proposal should be that only people on this committee are people who have experienced homelessness in Santa Cruz in the last 12 months. And then that's it. And no one else is a stakeholder.
So the issue with that and the pushback that will come is that there won't be any representation of housed people. So if you have a body, then that's great. But, and even if you want to make it so that the majority of people are experiencing homelessness, or 2/3, or half and half, or whatever, but so that there is a noticeable population on the body
half
to be able to represent. I mean, if there's 11 people, then 6 should be experiencing homelessness and 5 should not be.
Yeah, yes. Something like that. Yes. This has to be some kind of real.
And you know what? Actually, I don't know you either. Hi, I'm Drew.
Hi, I'm Annie.
Hi, Annie.
We met a really long time ago.
Oh, well, nice to meet you again. Thanks for coming. What are your thoughts?
Well, I was homeless here, and I didn't get any help. So I had to do it myself, which was really difficult, and then I had a family member who was fortunate enough to be able to help me. And I actually applied to be on it, and I was told that I was not qualified to be on it.
Not qualified?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your name?
Who said that? A-N-N-I-E, Cynthia. So...
Cynthia Matthews?
Yes.
How did she... Why is she?
She knew me through my previous job. I worked at EcoGoods.
Oh, that's where I knew you.
Yeah. And
what was the reason?
And because I was not qualified.
Because
she just said I was not qualified.
Well, you're obviously not qualified.
Oh my God! So I need to hear this from the city council.
To be honest, I applied not expecting to be accepted because I kind of had a feeling. But what I thought. The reason why I thought I should apply for it was because I had been homeless. I knew what it was like to be homeless here, and what I had to do going from, you know, hotel to hotel and trying to just keep it together so that I could find a job. And I was fortunate enough that I got a job, which helped me make the next step. And then I live in an LIR building, so low-income residency. I live in the St. George. And the reason I was eligible to be in there is because I got the job downtown. So there's a special designation that if you work or have an assignment downtown, you're eligible for the low income residency because it's a HUD building.
Right.
So I was able to get the residency and have my job, and so that I became not homeless. But my experience, I thought, would be helpful to, you know, be on that that group and on that committee to be able to share what it's like. Yeah,
Part is I'm looking for your application and it seems like they're alphabetized in
what's your name?
And my last name is McCullough. M C.
Yeah, but it looks like it's it looks like it's organized by first name.
First name.
So Donovan, Dan, Don. Is it A?
A Annie.
A Annie. Yeah. So you go up to A. Is it's just Amy Chen, and Aaron Cunningham.
Is that supposed to be a list of everyone or only
this
those?
This is everybody.
Only the finalists.
No, this is all applications supposedly. This is the
It's not in there.
Okay, so here's corruption. Yeah. That's bizarre.
So you did, and I'm just gonna put this forward. So you're.
I'd like to know
if so wonder who else.
In fact, as soon as it start posted, is start when I.
If you could spell your last name for me.
M C capital C O L L O U G H.
And also, if you don't find.
And wait, just a second. Capital M.
Lowercase C.
Capital C.
O. Sure. L L.
I'm positive.
O U.
And Erica.
There we go. McCullough.
With an E.
There.
Wonderful. And do you have an email?
And
yeah, it's yeah.
Right. Also, Erica A I K E N. If you don't mind, Erica Aiken.
Erica.
A I K E N. Erica Aiken. If you do not find that, she told me for a fact she was waiting to hear if she got into that she applied.
And use this as a reason to delay this whole thing.
Start,
yeah. So this will be corruption if her name isn't on there as well.
But they both Scottish names.
Scottish names. That's the reason.
That's why I'm not there, MCH.
These folks need to come to the council meeting and stand up and say that they didn't see
it. Here's Erica. So Erica's is in here.
Hmm. Okay, you found Erica's. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's interesting. I'll ask, told by Cynthia Matthews that she was not.
You want to be on the Huff email?
And then why did Erica not
get... Well, is everyone being told whether they're qualified or not? Or was that just a weird comment?
Why didn't Erica make the cut?
Did Erica get a comment like you're qualified or you're not qualified?
Because I would have co-signed on Erica.
What are the qualifications that they're looking for? Do you know? Is there a list of qualifications?
How much creative direction of the council, platform, synthesize, analyze, recommend short-term options, develop different pathways.
No, on the application, it said, like, which categories you fall into. You have to fall into some of those categories.
Oh. Did they say homeless?
That was one of the options. And because they wanted somebody from each one of the sections.
Wait a minute.
Oh, so Annie, which one did you say?
There's no homeless.
Are you talking about this section right here?
On the application,
on that right there, you could put as many, you could check all that apply on there.
Person.
So I
put service provider and advocate.
I put several, but on other, I put had
that's
been
bullshit.
Homeless in Santa Cruz.
Are you currently or have you recently personally experienced
homeless people? Homeless people are on there. Okay. Homeless person.
Erica wrote no on that, just FYI.
Right.
So.
How many of them wrote no?
I don't know, but you said that she was currently homeless?
No, that she knows a lot about the homelessness issues. Mm-hmm. Okay, she would have been a good selection.
So my biggest concern is to have someone that applied that has a lived experience of homelessness being told by a council member that she doesn't, that she's not, doesn't have the,
not qualified to be on this.
Yeah, that's my
But that's because
just going into the fact that there's not been adequate outreach into the community and stall this thing. But the real point is, look at how much time it's taking up in our discussion here. And all this is about a useless group anyway. So, I mean, our real focus are on the issues you raised 6 months ago in this room.
Yeah.
And that is what we need to continue focusing on. And having continued meetings like this that we're having, you know, on a weekly basis, not necessarily before a council meeting, you can fit it into your schedule. Because this is where real action at least begins and real information is exchanged.
Right.
So that, I mean, I'm not saying that everything people are saying is valid. That's not the question. But toward what end is the problem?
So throw the whole process away.
So
yeah.
So I did apply with the hope that it would be modified, with the hope that it would be something other than just a pulpit. Because as it's set now, it's just take the community's opinions and just write a report on what their opinions are. I was trying to change the timeline so it would be available for winter shelter. I was trying to change the give it time for the experts, for the groups, for the negotiating between the housed and the unhoused to come up with, if they were only talking about encampments, like talk about some project program model. But if it's going to be something other than that, like if that's the goal and that's all we want out of it, okay, then focus on a group that can just homeless people are not going to design a program that the house, exactly what you're saying, to house people later are going to be like, that's cool.
Yeah, they'll never accept it.
And if you don't put in some people who are actually into programming or the fire chief, because he can slam the whole thing at the end too. So if that's the goal, that's fine. But I like the camping parameters. Even the police chief has said that if there was something passed that was time, place, and manner, he'd be okay with it. So having the camping parameters, having bathrooms, having like three or four set things.
Cameras would be really important. But we've got to have cameras.
If you're still pushing for encampment specifically, it still has to be modified for it to be camping focused as a goal. But to put just homeless people or just half and half, you're still missing voices in there that can still blow the thing up afterwards. Because the same thing that the guy said about the rental, the guy that did the assessment on the rental thing, he said, you guys never get along, and you guys are not going to, the city council's not going to listen to whatever you say, and they didn't promise to listen. If you don't get those two things going, then this is the same thing.
And that should be brought up.
Right. I took some of those notes, Serge.
Yeah, I get it. I'll email you. But pretty much, I just think the goals need to be decided. And I think that,
And so I cut the stack short earlier when we were talking about Wisdom Council feedback. Nicholas, I appreciated your statement that Austria is homogeneous and highly educated. That may not be the case in the United States and Santa Cruz. And Satya, can we have someone from Wisdom Council come and work on it? And so do we want to set back the pace on this catch, see if we can get them to do a wisdom circle between now and the end of August, and then come back first meeting of September with a report back from the Wisdom Council, and then by then hopefully have the updated application process be truly representative and incorporate some of those individuals, because it seems like it should be a 11 person body with 6 people experiencing homelessness and 5 house people, and then those key department heads or whatever that could vomit at the end, so that they have their, so like a representative from the PD and a representative from the fire department, and then 11 people.
Yeah.
Some the housed people being a mix of experts and housed residents, and then the other one being a mix of previously houseless or currently houseless people. So that's a possible model, Cynthia.
Two things about that. I think the process needs to be done in public after this. The entire process, like, you know, here's the list. If you're interested, come on this day, just like you did for the people for the commissions and boards. You need to come and make your pitch, and then they're going to make the decisions right then and there in public, and everybody needs to go and watch that shit. And another thing is, like, what Serge said is true, is that if you're having a group of people discussing things, and I think it shouldn't be any of those people that are in the boxes, I think it should be disinterested community members or uneducated, like, they don't know all the rules, community members, like homeowners and homeless people and renters. And then people like Serge at the fire chief, they should be sitting on the side as an advisory body, that if things come up during the discussion, then they can go, oh, well, don't go down that path, you waste time, because there's a law against that. So that is a more efficient way to allow people to have their heart from the heart discussion, and perhaps their propose their solutions, and then you can have people, you know, who aren't going to say, oh, you can't do that, but they're going to say, you know, you might run into a problem with that, this is part of your solution because of that. So not have them included in have them sort of around as an advisory group that does attend the meetings but doesn't have the right to vote.
And can I just say, since I don't say it to everybody, I'm homeless too. just to put that out there. And I'm also I'm starting a group of lived experience, like a lived experience advocacy project. It's after the Monday night dinners at Calvary. And we're going to try to, if that grows more, we would try to ask a night at each one of the shelters where staff stayed out, and we could just have conversations with people.
And so he said, please don't tell anybody.
No, I just said I don't mention it that much. Okay. Some people just
because
assume
some
that
people
I'm just
here
a,
might mention it on the radio.
I don't
care that
I
already like
did. I've said it to people. I just don't say it all the time because I'm not complaining.
Yeah, he was specifically saying that people may not know that he personally is experiencing homelessness. Not so much that he's putting together the group that's a secret, but not that people know that he's homeless because he doesn't fit, I think, the average stereotype of a person that thinks of homeless people. I don't know, but
yeah, not like a leash.
Right, like me, right?
Most of us don't.
Right, exactly. Because their stereotypes and stigmas are fallacious and wrong.
I think some of the stuff that people want are great things, and I agree with them. But this is an opportunity for something, and if it just gets stopped. Then you lose any opportunity and trying to see if there's something we can get out of this. Because I don't know some of the names, but I know Don and I know Ingrid and I know Rafa. Like, they actually chose people that are willing to negotiate and stuff.
Rafa does not understand this side of the line.
But he understands that side of the line.
Yeah, he understands, but he's one of the few
people
that...
But that's the side you should represent, though, is what I'm saying.
He is. He represents the house, like, with his friends at Depot Park, but he's totally a negotiable person. Mm-hmm. Like, his whole complaint about Depot Park was they didn't talk to him first. He's not against any homeless stuff. So to choose a house person, he's a pretty negotiating kind of house person.
But the other thing is, if you gather all this information, we actually do get like half people that are housed and half that are unhoused, and they come up with, and it's a direct focus about transition camps, so it's not about all that there is in homelessness in the world. Then, how do we get the council to actually vote to accept some positive thing? That's where it really comes down to, because that's what's happened the last bunch of times.
Just in the after time, and we had another item that was asked to be pulled and came prepared. I want to make sure that we talk about it before the end of the meeting. Mm-hmm. So really appreciate all your input on this. If you have more ideas on this catch issue or on the other issues that we spoke about today, which include the tenant-landlord data collection process, you can send those to me in an email as well as any other content. Now that you know what's on the agenda and some other things, you can dive in, dig into the things that we didn't talk about before. But just so you know what my notes are with regards to this and the direction I'll go, I'll probably try to figure out a way to slow the catch down, initiate a wisdom council through August, return in September with suggested recommendations, and then reopen the application selection process in a public forum like commission selection.
Drew, can you make it clear when you're doing this that the real thing or the issues that you brought up in January and February, and be very specific and say that it's much more important for us to address these issues specifically than to spend another 6 months or even 2 months discussing how to put together a group to discuss them? I mean, the issues are the issue, not this stuff. This is taking up your time. So if you can at least wedge that in, you know, and bring the community's attention back to what's really being missed.
And the meetings are public, by the way, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so you can observe them.
Bathrooms, shelter, and ordinances. There we go. Are the three main things.
And were you going to get a chance to say what the plan was for Janice?
So I have a meeting that I'm supposed to go to on Monday at 10, but that's, of course, in the middle of my staff meeting for my other work to meet with Rui Escalante. It's just back on the agenda. He's going to fight against it. Whatever. I'm going to support it.
What are you talking about?
The Janice. Resolution support for
they need more money
in kind or confident negotiations with labor. Okay, wonderful. So item number 26 is the small cell 5G wireless towers that we're going to be talking about. The issue of the 5G is large and vast, but we'll scroll up here to 26 so that we can see what we're working with. This is the second reading? No, this is the first.
There's two things. There's 27, which is the final adoption, but that's not important. Mm-hmm. The number 26 is the important one, which is the presentation from Public Works of the whole new process that doesn't include any public process. It's the Public Works Department gets the applications, and they approve them, and that's the end of it. And
is that condition?
We can appeal them to City Council, so that's going to be one thing that I ask for, is that the appeal fees be waived.
Is this related to
that somewhere?
Yeah, that's in
there. Oh, yeah, fees
but
waived.
First, the very first thing is, at the City Council meeting on April 9th, you guys approved 1,500 feet spacing between the towers in all zones, but they forgot that. They thought it was just residential zones, but that was from the Planning Commission.
That they had some research on human health that they're willing to consider.
Yeah, so you guys, so there's three places where that appears in the paperwork that needs to be corrected in all three places because it's you guys approved it.
Thank you.
All zones, so I caught it. Yeah, I was waiting for it. I was expecting they might not put it in there. So,
wow.
So yeah, I mean, this is like all I do. I'm always like watching this stuff.
I've heard
a little
bit about this. You guys really need to get
one at a time, folks. I can't hear you.
Yeah, I have to go.
Hey, everybody.
I
really love your input, but we're just going to respect the time. So, if you have something to say or you have input, just raise your hand and I'll call on you as soon as Satch is done.
Yeah, I have to go at 7 because my cats are outside.
Right.
I have to go.
Lay it on, come on.
But anyway, okay, so that change is the first part. Then I have four other things that I'd like. Actually, they did a pretty good job with the ordinance. I'm quite pleasantly surprised. I want the noticing. I want it to be, when they get an application, I want it to be added to the city website so people know about it. And the way they have it set up now is they're going to post it when it's approved, but we have to know when it actually is received.
Like who they didn't select?
Hey,
with respect. What's that? You mean?
What's that?
Like who they didn't select, not just
somebody talking around in their hallways, they get this.
Well, yeah,
he's just
towers.
Right there, I can see him. But thank you.
Yeah, for the cell towers. When there's a cell tower.
Oh, wow.
This is about cell towers.
Yeah,
when a cell tower. Is application is sent in, it needs to be put online right away.
Or not.
Yeah, they're gonna send out notices to everybody that lives in the area. But people who don't live in the area need to know about it too. In case they happen to
but everybody who lives in the area, if
well,
they're 1,500 feet, then they have to send a postcard to everybody.
Have you seen somebody's been sticking
signs? Okay, I was wondering if it was
and many
you.
No,
because I didn't know until right outside my building. There's one, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought there was a process before this was going to get.
They're going to be everywhere eventually. That's why this ordinance is so important, because with 5G, it's called fifth generation. We're trying to make it as good as it can be by putting things in the ordinance. So what we've got is
a little worried. We have to piss on the door or something.
The noticing, I'd like it to be on the website as soon as it gets the applications received.
Great.
And updated when it's approved.
And the increased noticing to 1,500 feet?
Yeah, they have 300 feet right now.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
And
when
fee waiver.
That's an extra job.
Yeah, fee waiver of the appeal fees. And then we also want in the insurance requirements. The insurance policies right now do not cover electromagnetic fields.
You
they don't cover wireless radiation. So that's very important.
Yeah.
We need to get that added, that they have to have that coverage. Because what good is the insurance if it's not going to cover the main problem?
They won't cover it ever, because they know
it's
the central assault.
It's not in commercial policies.
The technology they've come up with is bad.
I really love how passionate you are about this, but if you could just hold that,
thank
that's
you.
Really, really great.
So I've sent this to everybody, so I'm going to be asking for it. Something that we need that wording added.
And this insurance requirement is for the insurance requirements of Verizon to add this to their insurance conditions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's already a condition in their requirement to have a coverage, but it doesn't say this specifically. There's, you know, many people don't know this, that it doesn't cover that. It's an exclusion on all commercial policies.
The usual argument that I've seen at Board of Supervisors meeting is... that the unknown health effects of these of this type of energy, it's so unknown, and they imply that it will never be known, and therefore ignore it, you see.
Right.
That's a very unhealthy attitude.
And then you were going to say something?
Yeah.
Did you have something to say?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not. It's actually, there's a lot of scientific data in it. It is horribly terrifying to me that this technology is being unleashed on the public without any effort whatsoever to protect human health, plant health. It's going to be an extinction level threat. It's very deadly. It's weapons grade technology. It's way overkill. It doesn't go through trees. They're going to be chopping down trees.
Yeah.
They need to be planting trees instead. It's got to be delayed until they can do more research to protect the health, because they're going to be putting us all at
severe risk. Tons of research done.
And they have these meetings in Washington, and they don't want to talk about it. They suppress everybody's point of view on this. It's not an unknown health problem anymore.
Thank you for that.
And one other area that is very dangerous is the surveillance capability. One of the things that why China has adopted it is that it makes it possible to have total information access on everybody at every time.
Exactly.
And so maybe there could be a thing where, if it's banning the use of it for surveillance, because it's...
that would be a good thing to throw in there.
It's the nature of making everything smart. There's just one more other request I want is that, this is something also the city doesn't really know a whole lot about, but the Americans with Disability Act, people who are electromagnetically sensitive, EMF sensitive, such as myself, we are a protected class of people.
Yeah.
So we are, it's an access barrier. So we're asking that no cell towers be put closer than 1,500 feet to government buildings, such as here, the library, the post office, parks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In deference to the ADA and to accommodating
the hotel rooms within 1,500
feet.
That would also mean
any HUD building.
Yeah, that too. So we've been told that the telecom industry would say that was a prohibition of services.
Oh.
But the ADA is
a law. Yeah.
And so that's where we balance the two. The ADA is a law, and it was in effect long before the Telecommunications Act, which has all these other rules in it. So
Councilman, the concocted language, prohibition of services. You see, they invent these phrases in our language just to suit their ends.
They're God-given rights to give services.
And they already have services.
So do you know if the ADA covers EMF-sensitive people?
It does.
Says that it's not. Electric voltage is not disability under the ADA.
Well, the ADA does not list any. The ADA does not list any disabilities. The ADA says if one or more life activities is significantly impaired, then you qualify under ADA. So the U.S. Access Board, which is what determines how people are accommodated, does recognize EMF sensitivity. But the ADA itself, we're covered because somebody like me, more than one thing in my life is affected by this.
And have you been in communication with that lawyer? He's contacted me a couple times. We played phone tag back and forth.
Yeah.
So you connected with him?
Yeah, he's coming.
Okay, good.
I have a lawyer. We have two lawyers, actually.
Coming on Tuesday?
One is coming.
Is it that guy? What's his name?
Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin. What was the other one's name?
The other one's Daphne Tackover. She's the one that gave our presentation.
Kevin's the one I've spoken to. Okay. Yeah, so good, he'll be there so I can see him face to face.
You've spoken to Kevin?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Said voltage and she said frequency, so you might want to.
Right. I'm just going to look. I have a note here. Look at the definition of disability and then look up EMF.
I can send you something. The city attorney, too. We ran this by the city attorney and he sent it to Stephanie Hall. She didn't really know much. She was looking it up on Google, too, I could tell.
Please send me that, just so I have it.
I will.
That'd be great.
Yeah. It's, because most people don't know about it.
So, since people came in different times, does everyone know everyone?
Thank you.
No. I know everyone, but does everyone else know everyone? Okay, so I would normally start the meeting with this, but since people came in at different times, we didn't even get into it. But really quick, if you just want to go around the room and let people know who you are, it'd be great. I'm Drew, I'm council member.
I'm Nicholas Whitehead with Conscience and Action, homeless advocate.
I'm Annie. I'm definitely a homeless advocate. And I love you.
Serge, homeless advocate. I made a resource directory, and I participate in county collaborative sort of meetings and stuff.
My name is Janai Herod, and I've been rescuing dogs for about the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. I've been homeless here in Santa Cruz for 2 years, and I just came back from Sonora after 5 years of being relocated through victim witnesses, a survivor of domestic abuse. So I raised three children here. I came here, my grandmother was here from World War II, back when she was making uniforms for the military, so five generations of Santa Cruz here, so I have quite a lot invested. However, most of them are dead and gone now, which is kind of...
Most are dead with us.
Yeah, my kids would like to come home, but they can't afford to, so I'm here to see if we can do something.
Great, welcome.
I'm Cynthia with Santa Cruz Tenants Association. I run the Tenants' Rights Hotline, well, one of them, the main one, and I worked on rent control, and I'm trying... And I want to say thank you. I feel so much more heard when I talk to you and Chris and Sandy than in the past years. So
absolutely, that's why I got elected. Thank you.
My name's Alicia Cool. I run Santa Cruz County Homeless Advocates, president of the Santa Cruz chapter of the California Homeless Union, and newly I will be the co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign in Santa Cruz. And I'm a homeless advocate, and I'm also homeless.
I'm Mark, homeless advocate. And I'm Tom Donahue. I was involved in the Viper rent control in Santa Cruz. Still pretty bitter about how that ended up, and want to fight the forces that are trying to keep people poor and homeless.
And I'm Satya Orion, and I'm the co-founder of EMF Aware, and that's what I do. Thank you.
I'm Robert. I'm with Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and I also do a radio show, and I'd be happy to get
Robert's famous.
Give a copy of this audio to anybody who wants it, if you want to review what people have said and their thoughts. You just send me an email. I'll leave a card on the table if people want it before they leave.
I'm Keith, and I do not want.
All right, well, wonderful group. So do we like this structure?
Yeah. Okay. It's great you're doing this.
Wonderful. So,
do you want me to keep stack for you next time?
Sure, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, it'd be easier than the you doing it.
Yeah.
What happened to your intern?
Summer. But I'll have interns with me in this room from now on. This was their first day, so.
Yeah. And just a quick announcement, when we were in D.C., Keith got an award for his service in feeding the unhoused community with Food Not Bombs.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yay, Food Not
Bombs. You could have gone there and got an award, too.
Yeah, all right, so the next meeting is going to be the Friday before the next city council meeting. If you look online on the Facebook page, let me just pull
you have like all the dates.
I have it planned out from now until the end of the year. Yes, this room will be booked every time. And we can go from there. Let me just see really quick what the next date is so that you all know.
How about a meeting in August? I mean, in July, in the middle of July?
We could potentially schedule something towards the end of July to prepare for August. I'm gone a little bit of the time during July, so it'll be. I'm gone from the 8th to the 15th.
I mean, to work on the.
I'm going to Dignity Village, by the way. I'm going to go up to Portland and visit Dignity Village.
Oh, great!
To work on the proposals that you've been staled on. I mean, stalemated on.
Right. So the next one is scheduled for the 23rd of. Oh no, the 9th of August at 5:30 here. Open to everyone, and please feel free to share the. Oh God, what is this?
Yeah, I put that out mostly.
Having peace on. There's no Kevin. This is not a place for you to advertise your living stuff.
Fireworks.
please invite your friends, share it online, let people know what's up. Also, if you enjoy the digital content that I put out, please make a point to share those videos as broadly as possible so as many people can see them and we can get as far enough reach, and we'll go from there. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening, everyone.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.